We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Friday. Love hearing that forecast. Absolutely stunning, beautiful. Sun is shining all across the region. Great, great to see. Today, fun topic indeed, one that I always say is not a Republican issue, is not a Democrat issue. It is a simple quality of life business issue. That is transit. Yesterday's Mobilized Leadership Roundtable at No Studios right here in Milwaukee featured an important panel discussing transportation choices for the economy and quality of life. As a region, you know, Greater Milwaukee has made great, great progress in the last couple years, but there's still a lot of work to do to connect our communities, to connect our people to jobs. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley joined this panel. West Allis Mayor Dan Devine was there. Waukesha Mayor Riley. Milwaukee County DOT Director Donna Brown Martin. Among many others, Dave Steele, the Executive Director of Mobilize, joins us in studio this morning. Mobilize is a private and public sector group that brings together leaders to power the greater good in transit. And even though, you know, we're kind of moving out of bike season, the executive director of Bubbler Bikes is going to join us later in the show, too. She's still somewhat new. Andrea Bogler will give us all the updates as to what Bubbler is doing in and around the Milwaukee area. But first, as we do each and every morning, especially on this glorious Friday, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the 2 Up on the Upswing.
New popcorn, new hours, and more Fonz in downtown Milwaukee right here at the 3rd Street Market Hall. If you follow me on X or Threads or wherever your social platform is, you'll see that I posted yesterday about a new gourmet popcorn vendor that's coming to the 3rd Street Market Hall. It will be called Pop City. And while there's no opening date set yet, signs are up, a new vendor space is being built out and prepared. The current vendors at Dog City are behind this gourmet popcorn addition to the 3rd Street public, to the 3rd Street Market. Also, Fonzarelli's Italian Deli is moving into the 3rd Street Market Hall. Arthur Fonzarelli, of course, known as the Fonz. It's going to play homage to the classic Italian-style sandwich shop that has deep roots in Milwaukee's Italian-American food scene, a tradition that obviously goes back 50 years, according to a press release from the new vendor that's opening Happy Days-themed Fonzarelli Italian-style deli right here at the 3rd Street Market Hall. The place was formerly the Yummy Bowl. I can almost see it here from the studio. So always exciting to see new short-term startups and leases come into the 3rd Street Market Hall. A little bit of shift. The Market Hall hours are coming too. Usually open at 8 a.m. for coffee. But one of the vendors this morning told me that they're going to shift hours beginning Monday and open at 11 a.m. Always changes in the restaurant space in and around Milwaukee. Second up, $16,000 for your next home. I don't know. What are you buying at Walmart these days? What are you buying at Walmart this weekend when you're out and about? Maybe when you're picking up that laundry detergent or toilet paper or whatever gets you to Walmart. You can also buy a tiny house. Indeed, one option, a 19 by 20 foot expandable prefab house, comes with a steel frame structure that unfolds from the size of a shipping container to create a basic studio cottage with built-in windows, insulated walls, and an insulated roof. Inside, there's a space for a little bedroom, a living room, a kitchen, a dining room, and a bathroom. This all comes at a price of $15,900. Really interesting addition to the Walmart bundle. You need a home? Maybe go to Walmart this week. And of course, obviously, that's not the total cost. You got to rent the forklift or the crane to unload it and get it delivered. You'll probably need some contractors to pour the foundation, add wiring, and do all the build out. And obviously, the most expensive part of owning one of these tiny homes is the land where it's going to sit. But at the same time, pretty interesting addition to the Walmart mix. Go buy your house this weekend for $16,000. All right, this is The Upswing. We are sponsored by Horicon Bank, and we'll be right back talking the future of public transit.
Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, leave, and get yourself free. Ooh, slip out the back.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Moving transit forward in southeastern Wisconsin. That's the theme of today's Friday show. As I said in the opening, I think the way to look at public transit is always, it's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's a simple quality of life business issue. That's why I'm excited today to have Executive Director Dave Steele from Mobilize in studio this morning. Dave, first, let's just kind of, I don't know, I want to set the tone a little bit for our conversation. I think kind of too often officials and politicians, they talk about subsidizing transit projects or subsidizing buses or streetcars or bridges. And for me, you know, transit's a greater good infrastructure. That's what it's all about. Roads, sidewalks, highways. They're not necessarily out to spur revenue or to make money. They're out to create public good, to connect our communities, and to be about building better communities. And that's what your group does each and every day, correct?
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I really look at it as an investment. Yeah. And, you know, we should always be looking at what that return on investment is for whatever public investment we make. But, you know, framing it in terms of as an investment is, what do we get out of this? So I think about my own experience growing up taking the bus in Milwaukee, growing up on the south side of Milwaukee, Route 19.
Yeah.
We called it the green limousine. You know, not very sexy, but it got us where we needed to go. And it was because of those choices, those options that I had as a young person that allowed me to save money, allowed me to go to college, allowed me to get some good jobs. I didn't actually buy my own car until I was about 30.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it at the time, but that was money in my bank account. So that gave me the ability to grow in my career, make more money, and ultimately pay it back in taxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's similar to the college loans and Pell Grants that I got when I was a young person. I make more money and I obviously pay more taxes as a result, and they pay it back in. So it's not a subsidy. It's not a handout. It's an investment. It's an investment in people.
Yeah. So day to day, talk to us about what Mobilize does. You had a big event yesterday where you convened leaders from across the area. I want to have you give us some insights as to that event, too. But just give us the organizational 101.
Yeah. So we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're a convener, first and foremost. We bring people throughout the region together to talk about transit and transportation and what those gaps are that we need to fill. And it really starts with what are the problems that we're trying to address? So several years ago, 2018, 2019, pre-pandemic, 5 years ago, feels like 500 sometimes, you know, we brought people together in the room and we heard from suburban employers that they really were hard up for workers. And we heard from community groups in the city of Milwaukee saying we need jobs. And, you know, it's only 10 miles, right?
Right.
But if you don't have a car, that 10 miles might as well be 100.
Yeah.
So it was out of those conversations that we were able to help give rise to an entirely new transportation solution, FlexRide Milwaukee, which launched in March of 22.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the success of that program after the break for sure. So give us, how is the organization funded, and then let's talk resources for a bit. Like, if you had unlimited resources, or let's say some of the state surplus on the state side at the budget is going to come to just transit, how do you launch a revolution in transit in Greater Milwaukee?
That is such an excellent question. So first, how we're funded. We are not funded by George Soros or Bill Gates or anything like that. We are very much a shoestring organization. We have a number of philanthropic partners, Bader Philanthropies, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, United Way, a number of corporate partners that that believe in what we're doing.
Okay.
So we're a very lean and mighty little organization here. Unlimited resources.
Yes.
The blank check.
Yes.
And I'm thinking back to my days playing SimCity in the basement, right? Not trying to date myself here. But I thought about your question, you know, what would I do with unlimited resources? You know, I'm not a big project, big silver bullet kind of person.
Yeah.
And usually when you give one person or a small group of people that sort of power of like, hey, design a city, usually ends up to be pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Sometimes disastrous. So I would start with the basics. You know, I would plow the sidewalks after snowstorms and make sure that we can walk safely in our communities. I would take steps to get mobile phones, cell phones out of cars. You know, I'm not preaching here. I use the phone too when I really shouldn't be when I'm driving.
Yeah.
You know, and
or at least create some more guardrails around it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To make things safer, because I think at the end of the day, what we need is safety on our streets. What we need is viable choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would encourage things like the e-scooters that we're seeing in the city of Milwaukee. I would encourage things like the bus rapid transit routes that Milwaukee County has put in.
Yeah. And when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on that specifically. We're talking to Dave Steele from Mobilize. Milwaukee County Transit System has paused the development of its planned north-south bus rapid transit line connect to due to some budgetary concerns, but there's still a future there for sure. And we're going to dive into the success of the FlexRide MKE program. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Dave Steele from Mobilize. Dave, you had a big event convening regional politicians and transit leaders, economic development folks yesterday. What came out of that meeting? Obviously, a lot of collaboration and connection, which is truly important. But what specifically was discussed?
Well, we talked about why these transportation choices matter, even if you don't ride them yourself. You know, of course, the bus or things like FlexRide matter tremendously to the people who use them every day. But we all benefit from it, even if we don't ride it. We benefit from it. If you go to the Starbucks, you know, and you order a coffee, there's a good chance that you benefited from the transit route that got those baristas there to make your coffee. If you're a parent of a teenager, you definitely benefit from different choices, you know, to get people around. So that's what we really impressed upon our elected leaders, our civic and our business leaders, is that transportation choices matter. They matter for a growing economy. They matter for the quality of life, even if you don't ride it yourself.
Yeah. And you need that collaboration between the different regions, the different leaders to kind of bring together the funding models that make sense. You know, from your lens, you know, obviously we've seen the expansion of bus rapid transit, the connect to, and the kind of the pullback due to some budgetary concerns. What do you see for the future of that transit option?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of bus rapid transit. I do think that it is the future. You know, when you look at light rail, right? We were talking earlier, Austin, Texas is building a 9-mile light rail route. That's costing $4.5 billion. And, you know, to your earlier question about what I would do with unlimited resources, I would figure out how to build things that don't cost $500 million a mile.
We appreciate that in Wisconsin.
So the you know, with bus rapid transit, what it's giving riders, including myself, I use Connect One almost every day, you get fast, frequent, reliable service that's safe, gets you there a little bit faster, and ultimately, that's what people want.
Yeah.
You know, when the hop opened in Milwaukee, what people were really really reacting to was the regularity, the reliability. And, you know, Connect One, Milwaukee County's BRT, as I can personally attest, can time your watch to that 10-minute frequency, and that's a game changer for people.
And having the fixed line, obviously, with Connect 1, Connect 2, you have the dedicated lane. With bikes, you have a dedicated lane. With cars, you have a dedicated lane. With a sidewalk, you have a dedicated lane for us pedestrians. It all should work that way, but it has to, at the same time, work together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the coordination comes into play, right? Most of us really don't know, nor really should we know, when we cross 124th Street if we're in one jurisdiction or another.
Exactly. Right.
And I always say that, you know, the way that we've set up our transportation system really goes back to Mad Men season one, maybe season three, right? And I think we need to update that for the 21st century. You know, when we laid all this out, Waukesha County was mainly rural. Now it's obviously very much not, population of 300,000 people and growing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're always crossing boundaries and we're always moving around longer distances than we did in the past. And our transportation systems should reflect that.
Yeah. So tell us about the success of FlexRide MKE.
Yeah, thank you. So FlexRide Milwaukee came out of many of our conversations, you know, with workforce folks and businesses. And, you know, we looked around and said, well, what are they doing in other parts of the country and the world to address this? And, you know, if you've been to Latin America, you've seen the colectivos, the, you know, more of an informal, on-demand kind of minibus that'll scoop people up. So that model had started to catch on in the United States, New York, some East Coast cities. Said, what if we were to bring that kind of approach here to Milwaukee? And what comes out of it then is an on-demand kind of Uber-like solution where it's a shared ride. You can call it on your phone. It'll take you directly out there to where you're going. So we've provided about 100,000 rides since we launched this 2.5 years ago. People definitely are riding it.
Great. All right. I'm going to have you expand upon that a little bit when we come back from the break. Welcome back to The Upswing. Happy Friday. We're talking transit today, and no matter how you are on the roads this weekend, walking, biking, specifically in your car, please be aware of your surroundings and especially be attentive to emergency vehicles. Let's hear WTMJ's Debbie Lazica and her feature on Move Out the Way Day.
Imagine driving down the highway, feeling safe and secure. Suddenly, you see flashing lights ahead. What do? Well, if you know the law, you know you have to slow down, or better yet, move over safely into at least the next lane away from those stopped vehicles. Wisconsin State Patrol Sergeant Erica Ballweg-Larson is shining a light on how important this law actually is.
Move Over Day is a day that we kind of want motorists to reflect and think about the people that are working alongside the roadways, whether that's a first responder, highway maintenance worker, tow truck operators, or any other emergency service vehicles that are on the side of the roadway. We want motorists just to kind of think about those people and that potentially their lives could be at risk when they're traveling by at highway speeds.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, thousands of emergency personnel are injured or killed each year while on the job. Many of these tragic incidents could be prevented if drivers simply moved over. And if you can't move over,
slowing down is not going the speed limit past us. It's slowing below the speed limit to a speed that's safe. And it doesn't have to be a speed that's like so low that it's causing a traffic incident behind you, but it's just a speed that's much safer so that it gives a little bit of a cushion just to give them a little bit extra protection.
When workers or first responders are out on the side of the roadway where the majority of vehicles are traveling at a relatively high rate of speed, they have practically no protection against a wayward vehicle that might creep into the shoulder just a little bit. All while these vehicles are tearing past them, they have to stay focused to do their jobs, sometimes saving another person's life. Think of how many times you've let go your focus and you've just slightly slid over just a little bit. Now picture a human being there, just trying to do their job and go home safely to their home and family. Puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? So that's why you might get pulled over if you don't.
A lot of times it might be just an educational lesson for when we stop motorists. And other times it might result in a citation. If you can't move over, we would obviously very much appreciate motorists to slow down.
You could also face some hefty fines and points on your license, not to mention the possibility of hurting or, worse yet, killing someone.
Fine for this violation can result in a citation of $263 and 3 points. And it is a moving violation, so that's where the points get added to the citation.
There's also another aspect of the law that most folks don't realize. I mean, I didn't realize it.
In December of 2021, the Act 115 took effect. That law creates emergency response area within 500 feet of an authorized emergency vehicle with their lights on. Handheld devices are banned in that area, which we want to remind people that fines do double in work zones as well.
So you know what I'm going to say. I always say it. Slow down, stay in control, and give the workers and first responders a wide berth when you see the flashing lights on the side of the road. Cut them some slack and slow it down so that everyone can get home safe and sound. Debbie Lazaga, WTMJ News.
Thank you, Debbie. You also obviously have to move out of the way for bikes. Be conscientious, be courteous to all on the road. So we're happy to be joined in studio by Laura Bogler. Laura is the executive director of Bubbler Bikes, a nonprofit bike share program right here in beautiful Milwaukee. Laura, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So for those that don't know, tell us what Bubbler is.
So Bubbler Bikes is our community bike share. We've been around for about 10 years, and we have about 120 docks throughout Greater Milwaukee, West Dallas, and Wauwatosa.
Okay, very good. And so stations are all around the area. How much does it cost to rent a bike? What's that system look like? Like, how do I, if I'm going to walk out today and I'm like, all right, I need to get somewhere a little quicker, how do I use the system?
So we recommend everyone uses the B-Cycle app. So if you haven't downloaded that, it's a free app. It makes checking out super easy as compared to our kiosks. But basically, if you're a local Milwaukeean, we recommend you get an annual pass. It's about $10.75 per month, $129 a year. Otherwise, you can, which includes 60-minute free rides. Otherwise, if you just want to test it out, it's 25 cents per minute.
Okay.
So if you walk up to
and
a station.
And you can just, you got to download the app and scan it, and then the bike checks out for you?
Correct. Okay. So, yeah, you'll download the app. You'll pick whichever bike at the station that you're at. Press the little number. You'll hear the dock beep, and then you just back the bike out and hop on.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about expanding Bubbler Bikes across the region. How do you accelerate that expansion? How do I get one specifically to my village and more? We're talking the future of public transit. Dave Steele from Mobilize, Laura Bogler from Bubbler Bikes. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Is your shower and or tub space looking like it could use an update? It might be. WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do, you take a picture of your shower or tub space, you text it, and you text the word creepy to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. You submit your picture as well, and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. For full contest rules, visit WTMJ.com. All right, Laura, let's talk more about Bubbler Bikes, and specifically as a community, or let's just say as a building owner, I want to have a station. How does that happen? What are the dynamics? What are the processes?
So the process is actually quite easy. You just would reach out to Bubbler Bikes, info@bubblerbikes.org. And we start a conversation about how large of a station you would want. Our minimum is 4 docks. We also look at how close it is in relation to the next closest dock. So to make bike share really effective, we want it to be about a quarter mile to a half mile max from the next closest station.
Okay. And obviously then you don't want gaps between communities, because then, well, the bike's only going going to go as far, and then I got to walk a mile until the next station. So how do you manage that when you work with all the communities?
Sure. So we were founded as Midwest Bike Share, and that's still technically our legal name because we did have a vision of expanding beyond just Milwaukee, and we're in West Dallas and Wauwatosa. To move into other municipalities, we just need to have a conversation with them. You know, there's costs associated with putting in a station with the docks, as well as some software fees that, you know, are annual investments after the initial
investment. And what do those costs look like? Are they managed sometimes? Let's say a village of Shorewood is looking to put in a station. Used to have a station. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a partnership? They pay for a portion. There's sponsorship. Like, how does that all come together?
Kind of a mix of all of that. Okay. So if a business in Shorewood was like, we really would like a bubbler station, we're willing to pay for the purchase of the equipment and the installation, but we also want to have our name on it and have it sponsored.
Right.
That's awesome.
Okay.
In Milwaukee, the stations are owned by the city of Milwaukee. Mm. So typically through government grants, that's how that's funded. So it's a mix of government grants as well as private sponsorship dollars.
Okay. Laura Bogler from Bubbler Bikes, Dave Steele from Mobilize. This is like transit infrastructure brain trust right here in the studio. I love it. So how do you two work together in terms of finding, you know, obviously you have to integrate effective transportation modes together, MCTS, the hop, bubbler bikes. What does that process look like day to day?
I think ideally, I mean, we all play well together in the sandbox because it is a greater mission of reducing single occupant vehicles. You know, Dave and I are both kind of on the forefront of the last mile and making sure that people can get to work, home, do their normal daily routines.
Mm-hmm.
So I think going forward, it's always going to be collaborative between organizations like Bubbler and FlexRide. Mobilize.
What do you see as the future of e-bikes? Do you have e-bikes now, Laura?
We do have e-bikes. Okay. About half of our fleet is e-bikes.
Okay. Are they more popular than the traditional bikes?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
If you have not ridden on an e-bike, check out the Bubbler e-bikes. They're the white Bubbler bikes. You still have to pedal. It's not like a motorcycle. You still have to pedal, but it makes everything so much easier. Going up hills, you won't be out of breath. You won't be sweaty when you show up to your meeting, to work, wherever you're going. It's a game changer for bicycling in the city.
All right. Bubbler bikes, Mobilize, the future of transit in the region. When we come back, you had that magic wand, that transit magic wand, what would you wish for Metro Milwaukee? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Dave Steele, Laura Bogler, join us. Transit issues in and around the greater Milwaukee area. So what do you both see as the biggest threat to sustainable transportation in greater Milwaukee? How do you see that through your lens, Dave?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really think our biggest kind of hurdle to overcome is that we have a region here that was built to drive around in, right? I mean, for the last 70 years, that's how we've chosen to build things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, naturally people are going to choose to drive when, you know, something's 15 miles away from where they live, and it's really difficult to do, you know, to take any other mode to go there.
Yeah.
You know, so that means that the types of modes that Laura and I operate, or, you know, Milwaukee County Transit, you know, what people want is safe, reliable, and get you where you need to go. So we have a transit system in Milwaukee that is safe, it is reliable. Bubbler.
Affordable. Also.
Affordable, yep.
Yeah.
Bubbler, also safe and reliable.
Yeah.
But doesn't necessarily get you where you need to go. And it's not their fault. It's because, you know, we've built things further and further out.
It's always dollars and cents associated with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the WTMJ talk and text line from the 262. Laura, specifically for you here, have you had any interest in Waukesha County communities or businesses in getting Bubbler bike stations?
We would love to continue to expand. The obstacle for us is connecting Waukesha with the current network. So we're cut off from Waukesha, the city of Waukesha, or the county.
Meaning that you could only use the bikes within that area or is it a technology concern?
Just that the stations aren't close enough. So
right. Okay.
While you could ride a bubbler out to Waukesha,
right.
That would be a really long ride, and there's nowhere to
there's
dock.
There's nowhere to dock. Okay.
Right.
So we would need to build out and expand and include, you know, Elm Grove, Brookfield, as we move out towards Waukesha.
Yeah, and obviously that's the fun challenge. Mm-hmm. You want to have enough docking stations, so it really does become A to B to C. You dock the bike, you move on, you get to your destination. So the more stations you have, the more communities that you have embracing it, the better the system works for everyone.
Correct.
All right. Let's talk about the magic wand question. Now, Dave, we talked earlier with kind of unlimited budget, you know, what you would do. But Laura, look at the big lens and in terms of kind of your magic wish for regional transportation in the area.
So it's interesting that bicycles are not included in transportation. So when we talk about government funding, bicycles are not included in that. I personally believe that bicycles are a mode of transportation. So the magic wand would be to have, obviously, a regional authority that is funded to support the operations of Bubbler. At the end of the day, we're a nine-person crew who's managing 1,400 bikes and 120 stations in greater Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So my magic wand would be obviously the funding, but also to have that consistency and the collaboration of a regional authority of some kind.
And Dave, is that something your group is working on, getting to that regional transit authority that can, you know, conceptually help fund all types of transit? Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that you start with, as we did, that, you know, the work that led to Flex Ride Milwaukee. It's really getting people in a room and saying, what do we have in common here? What are our transportation challenges? And what works in the city of Milwaukee might not work in Pewaukee or Delafield or a place like that, because they're totally different environments, different land use patterns, different, you know, ways of living. So, you know, I think we start with, where are people at? Where do they need to go? How do we do that most efficiently, most equitably, most affordably for people? And then if that means that, you know, we then go out to Madison together and say, hey, we need to fund this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always look at the sewerage district, MMSD, as a great example. We have, frankly, some of the cleanest water in the world.
Yeah.
We have flood control that would have been unimaginable 30 years ago. That's a regional effort, but they said, you know what? Clean water and flood control is really important. It's something that's going to require a regional approach. So it's not that that an RTA in and of itself is the goal. For me, it's how do we get there and what are those conversations to get there? Because otherwise it would be just Milwaukee saying, oh, we want an RTA.
And, right.
You know, it has to be regional.
Regional transit, it's about collaboration and connection. Let's have a great weekend.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Costco International announces $200 million in newly awarded contracts, a $55 million investment in its plants, and the hiring of 250 new employees. About half of its new contract business is in the United States, and half is in international markets. Sage Restaurant in Bayview plans to close once the White House property where it operates is sold. The White House, a three-story building with Queen Anne-style architecture, is on the market for $1.6 million. Fonzarelli's Italian Deli opens at Milwaukee's 3rd Street Market Hall on Friday. The shop features quick-serve sandwiches, appetizers, pastas, and Italian desserts. I'm Linda Spice with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.